tonight with this, but if you have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to the book of Ruth chapter 1, where we left off this morning. Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We're talking about a lot of things can make you bitter. Things that have happened, tragedies, sickness, people, hurts, disappointments, things can make you bitter. But I'm telling you, bitterness is toxic. Bitterness not only affects your inside, bitterness and unforgiveness, I'm tying these together, don't just affect the inside, the spiritual, but it will affect your physical as well. You know, as your inner man gets tore up, as the spiritual man gets eat alive, it's going to eat alive at the physical also. So what I'm convinced, what some of the things that happens in the spiritual, a lot of sick, not all of it, but there's some things, there's a lot of times when sickness is caused by spiritual conditions. And there's a lot of times when people need to get some things about holding grudges, unforgiveness, jealousy, and especially unforgiveness and bitterness that will hinder their divine healing. It will, because it's got to do with the spiritual, and we're going to show you that a little bit tonight. I want to show you how bitterness tastes in there a little bit. Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved unto them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me." Let me read that again, the last part of 19. That they all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" There was a change about her coming back from Moab into Bethlehem after the famine. That's the reason that statement was made, "Is this Naomi?" They couldn't recognize her because she had changed that much. And the reason she had changed that much is because in verse 20, and she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me." She had become bitter against God because, I'll get there here in just a minute. But I want to speak to you on tonight on when the spirit becomes poisoned. When the spirit becomes poisoned. Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear Lord, tonight, God, and we just exalt you, dear God, this evening, Lord. Lord, we lift you up, dear God, today, Lord, and we praise you, dear God, Lord. And we just exalt you, dear God, today, Lord, and we praise you, dear God, for everything you've done, dear God. Lord, we exalt you, dear God, this evening, oh Lord, and we give you glory, God. We praise you, dear Lord, tonight, and ask for your divine anointing upon me, dear God. To minister this word, Lord, let me speak with authority. God, I pray, Lord, that you prick every heart in here. I pray, Lord, that you deal with everyone under my voice tonight about this subject, oh God. Lord, tonight we honor you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning I spoke to you a little bit about the thought of not allowing bitterness to get into your spirit. I told you that bitterness was like a poison in someone's spirit, and how things that happen to you can make you one bitter. For just a minute, let's back up and talk about Naomi. When you begin to study Ruth chapter 1, you'll begin to see that there was a famine in Bethlehem. So Elimelech and took Naomi and their two sons down to Moab when the famine was in the land of Bethlehem. But while they were in Moab, Naomi had lost her husband and her two sons. And they decided that they would return home. And after she returned home, as she was returning home, we see right here, Naomi was a very bitter woman. Why did she become bitter? After all, she had experienced tragedy. She had experienced loss. She had experienced the death of her husband, but not only her husband, but her two sons along the way. And I'm telling you, as she come back into that place called Bethlehem, their homeland, let me remind you that there was something different about her. She had become bitter. That bitterness had changed her very appearance. You see, the world today will tell you that it's all right to be bitter. The system of the world today, the devil will tell you it's all right to become bitter and to become unforgiving. How many know that's the idea of the devil? Don't forgive. But let me tell you, even though this lemon may look good, when you begin to bite into a lemon, I'm going to show you something real quick. It is sour. If you want a bite, I got some up here. If you're joyous like I am, you'll know how bitter it tastes right here. Now watch this. I'm going to see how sour this is. Ah, God. Oh my, you see what I'm talking about right there? Anybody want one now? But listen, that bitterness. There's another good example. Anybody else want? I got a full bag and a whole lemon up here. But what I'm trying to tell you is, as bitterness gets into you, you become sour like that. From the outside, it may look good. If I wouldn't have known what this was, that yellow color right there on that lemon, it probably would have looked good. After all, I'm the one that drunk vanilla flavoring one time because it had a good smell to it. I would have thought, well, I make lemonade with this. And if I think I can make lemonade, I should be able to drink it. It should be able to eat it plain like that. Well, you've seen the result of trying to eat a lemon right there. How bitter it tastes. And you could see the reflection of the bitterness that was coming through my mouth, couldn't you? You could see the bitterness of that lemon affecting me. Not when I was taking it in, it was coming out on the outside. And it's the same way when our spirit gets poisoned. It is the same way when poison and bitterness and unforgiveness gets into the spirit. It will come on the outside as well. In fact, Jesus even told us this. In Matthew 12, 33 through 35, he talked about what's on the inside will come out on the outside. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There's your key. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That means what is in is what is coming out. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the treasure, bringeth forth to evil things. Well, in other words, Jesus was saying, what is inside of a man will always come outside of a man. If there's bitterness and if there's unforgiveness in somebody's life, it is going to come out. Right here in Ruth chapter 1, we see how Naomi's countenance had changed because she had become bitter. She had left Bethlehem to go to Moab one way, but when she come back to Bethlehem after the famine, her appearance had drastically changed, all because she was bitter. She had become bitter with God because of what she blamed God for, losing her husband and her two sons. My Lord, tonight people want to blame everybody else for the problems. They want to blame everything. thing. They want to get bitter at people. My Lord, in the kingdom of God, let me tell you, I told you this morning that God wants us walking around joyous. He wants us walking around glad. He wants us walking around with laughter on our lips today. Let me tell you, when I begin to think about Naomi, you say, preacher, how did she change? How was it coming out? Let me tell you, I believe her attitude was totally different. A bitter person has a bad attitude. How many know that? A bitter person has a rotten, stinking attitude along the way. They may have a bad attitude towards someone else. They may stick it up at their nose in the air at someone else. Let me tell you, but somebody's attitude will tell you what's in their spirit. The way they think, the way they live, it will come out. That will change about them. Even the very appearance of some literally change. Apparently, Naomi had changed so much that people in Bethlehem did not even recognize. Why did she change? Why did she get to this point? Because she had become poisoned in the spirit, if you will. She had become poisoned in the spirit. Bitterness was running through her body. Bitterness was in her spirit. Oh, you hear what I'm about to tell you. People get bitter over every little thing today. You see, anger and bitterness is two different things. Anger is something that happens in the moment, but bitterness is something that's happened yesterday. Bitterness is something that has happened in the past. These are things that people cannot let go of. And I want you to know this night that if you got bitterness in you, that you got poison inside of you tonight. That if you got bitterness in you, you've got poison inside. And let me give you two nuggets right here. We're going into the poison. This poison will affect you. It will affect you spiritually, and it will affect you physically. Oh, what are you meaning? I'm telling you, people that get bitter will not forgive someone else. Oh, they'll have an unforgiving spirit about them. That bitterness goes on things about what's happened over and over. And they refuse to forgive and then move on. What begins to happen? The poison spreads in them. I told you that bitterness spirit is like cancer. If it'll spread quickly, if it ain't dealt with. Let me tell you, people don't like to forgive anymore. They don't want to let go of their offense. They want to hang on to it. I told you about Paul this morning, for those that wasn't here. How many know he was building a fire and a viper latched out onto his hand? He didn't ask for that viper to latch out on his hand, did he? It just latched out on it. Let me tell you, sometimes things are going to happen. Sometimes you're going to get bit when you ain't even asking for it. I know some people may act like they want it, but sometimes you're going to get bit. But Paul did not allow that viper to kill him. That venom did not kill him. What did he do? He shook it off in the fire. Let me tell you tonight that God's given us the ability. He's given us the power to overcome all things. He's given us the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means of the enemy. Things of the enemy shall hurt us tonight. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, he's given us power to be able to forgive like he's forgiven. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, he's given us power that when they stone us, we'll get right back up and start preaching the gospel again. I don't have to walk around bitter. I don't have to walk around anger. I don't have to walk around holding a grudge. Why? Because I'm free in Jesus Christ tonight. People don't like to forgive. A poison spirit will say, I have no reason to forgive that person. Baloney. What makes you better than Jesus? Amen. Oh, that poison spirit will say they don't deserve forgiveness. Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't think like that.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad Jesus didn't think like that. Oh, that's Jesus. Well, about Stephen. Amen. He prayed for their forgiveness when they're stoning him to death. Paul was the one that consented to it, Saul. And I believe Stephen's prayer got a hold of Paul. It struck something with old Paul. Saul right there at the time. Oh, we don't have a reason to forgive. Let me tell you, we don't think they deserve. I've heard them say, they don't deserve forgiveness. Oh, really? What makes you think you deserve to be forgiven? Amen. What makes you think you deserve it? If you don't think somebody else deserves it, what makes you think you deserve it tonight? Amen. Who are you to determine? Let me tell you, we're going to talk about what Jesus said. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's some bitterness that needs to be dealt with in the body of Christ. There's some issues of forgiveness that people that sit on church pews need to get addressed tonight. Think about what Jesus said about forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. There's a condition. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ooh, right there you go. The preacher didn't write those words. Jesus of Nazareth said those words. You can't forgive, you ain't going to be forgiven. My Lord, I've heard people say, I'm not listening to this preacher and what they done 20 years, what they done years ago. You need to get saved. Amen. I don't like this preacher because what they done then. I don't care what they done then. If the blood's covered them, they've been forgiven. It's been washed away. Amen. People don't understand forgiveness. Amen. Let me tell you, when I forgive somebody, I don't have a problem talking to them. Amen. I've got a problem with those that don't shake people's hands in churches because they don't like them. Maybe they need to get saved. Some of those that claim to have the Holy Ghost, they got no more Holy Ghost. And some of y'all's dogs do. Just telling you the truth. If you can't love your neighbor, how can you love God? Amen? But people get bitter. A bitter spirit will lead to unforgiving spirit. It's right there together. So I'm thinking people don't deserve to be forgiven. Oh, I've heard people say I forgive them, but they'll put a snark up and roll their eyes up. You ain't forgiving nobody. You ain't. If you got to. Don't you just love those people that roll their eyes at you? I'm going to roll mine right back. That's what I show them. I can do the same thing you can do. Or they put their, women are the worst at this. Or put their hand up and say, talk to the hand. I'll give them something to talk to. Amen. You can talk to Jehovah God. Amen. Amen. But people, what's happening when people's full of unforgiveness, poison is in their spirit. And it's eating their spirit man alive. I told you, and I'll make this quote again. Bitterness is more toxic than any kind of food or anything you can put in your body. Oh, let me tell you. Oh, here's a good one. I'll give this person one more chance. Now, if they don't get it this time, I'll never forgive you again. You don't know what the definition of forgiveness is then, do you? Anybody ever heard that? I'll give them one more chance. I'll forgive them this time. But if they blow it again, I'm not going to forgive them. Well, hello. That ain't what Jesus said. Let me give you Jesus' definition of forgiveness tonight. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? That was Peter's question to Jesus. Seven times. Listen to Jesus' reply. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, until 70 times seven means unlimited forgiveness. those that want to hold grudges, unforgiveness, I'm going to tell you straight up, you're not on your way to heaven. You can't make it to heaven with all against your neighbor. You ain't going into rapture. You're heading towards hell. Oh, preacher, I've been saved. Let me tell you, we'll get there here in just a minute. See, a poison spirit don't want restoration. They want separation. Uh-oh. You see, I believe in relationships being restored, if all possible. Amen? 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 I don't think families ought to carry grudges one against another. Hello? 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 That's wrong. You're going to regret that one day. If there's somebody under my voice like that, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll regret it one day. You got a close family member you won't talk to because you're mad at, or you don't like them personally, one day you're going to regret it. I tell their children, let me tell you something, talk to your parents, because one day you're going to regret it. One day you're going to roll them up the aisle. Amen. 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 I want to tell them, don't you let nobody keep you from seeing your family. Amen. I told them before, I told Faith again, I said, listen, look, Faith, me and you, there ain't nobody up there going to keep me from you. Amen. I said, far as I'm concerned, if they try to keep me from you, I said, I know how to turn the keys in. And I got the guts to do it, too. I got enough pull to get, I know enough people to stay busy. I'm just telling you the truth. That's how it works. She comes before anybody in this sanctuary. Amen? Because she's my daughter. Then comes my God first, daughter second, then parents. That's how it works. I ain't going to let nobody keep me from her. Amen? Amen? Listen, people want to hold these grudges. They want to get in this unforgiving spirit. And you think you're right with God? You really think you're right with God? No, your spirit man's been poisoned. The devil's blinded you. Listen, tonight I'm telling you, unforgiveness eats away. And if you can't get over it, if you won't shake somebody's hand because you don't like it, and you won't talk to them, you won't give them a bite of food if they need it, I dare to say the debts be reinstated against you. Why do you say that? Because of what Jesus talked about in Matthew 18, 23 through 25. I'm not going to go into this tonight. But if you want to read this, here's the scripture reference. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. That's where it could be found out. There was a man who was forgiven by the king more than he could ever repay. He begged for mercy and forgiveness. And the king says, I'll forgive you. But this same man who had been forgiven a much found a man who all owed him a small sum. And that man asked for forgiveness. And the one who was forgiven refused to forgive the one that owed him that small sum. Had him thrown into prison. Had him thrown if that debt was paid. Now verse 34 and 35, listen. And his Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers of their trespasses. See, the king heard what that one he forgiven did. So he reinstated the debt against the one he had already forgiven. That tells me the sin debt can be reinstated. Amen? The sin debt can be reinstated. Jesus, listen to what Jesus said in the Father. He didn't say, with your mouth, because a lot of people's got mouth service down. Let me tell you, he said, with your heart. That means you mean it. You don't say it just to look good at the church. Amen. That means you do it. That means that there's some action to the words. Amen. Words don't mean nothing if there's no action. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't do it from your heart, he said, I will reinstate the debt against you. He said, the Father will. He said, he'll put you back to where you was, in other words. You know what it tells me? First of all, the key words in what Jesus talked about was from the heart, not from the mouth. Amen? Amen? Write that down. Key word, from the heart. Forgiveness is in the heart. But it tells me, when poison is in the spirit, it can kill one's spiritual life as well. Amen? It can, people that won't come to church because they got a disagreement with someone else, the one that's got the problem is the one that won't come to church. Hello, I'm going to tell you. You go to work with them. You go to Walmart with them. But you can't go to church with them. No, it's just an excuse not to come. Just telling you the truth. Oh, there's hypocrites in the church. Well, I'd rather go to church with them than go to hell with them. And they're where they need to be anyway to hear the word. Amen. The church ain't for the saints. It's for the sinners. It's a hospital for sinners. Amen. God get a hold of them and clean them. How many know that tonight? Listen, but people that get bitterness and unforgiveness in their spirit is poison that's eating their spirit alive. Just like cancer eats their spirit alive. People are dying. I've always wondered, if we can't get along here, if you can't get along with someone here, how will you be able to go to heaven with somebody? It's a shame in the kingdom of God that this attitude exists. But Jesus never taught unforgiveness. He taught forgive your enemies. Love your enemies. Amen. Sometimes I need the help of God. Anybody else with me? But I can't become bitter. I got to have one more. Because if I become bitter and allow that bitterness to get a hold of me, that's how I'm going to look. I don't know how anybody can walk around like that. I don't. Whoa, that's sour. Anybody else want one? Listen, I don't want to walk around. Do it one more time. I've always heard, you've always heard me say about a lemon in the mouth. Well, here we go. Well, it's bitter. And that's what somebody at bitter walks around like. I don't want to be around that. Because it's poison to the spirit. Y'all, there's a whole bag up here y'all got to go through tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that may work for that, but this is about being bitter. I can go ahead and tell you, I'm not going to get attached to bitterness. Them lemons right there. Only way I'm going to eat them like that's in lemonade. Have them in lemonade, and that's it. But people that are bitter, it's a faith. And people get used to it. People get used to it. That's their lifestyle. People's been so bitter, that's all they know. You just give me something right there. People that get, you can get used to that lemon. You eat so many of them. You be bitter so long, you're going to get used to being bitter. Hello? You're going to be getting used to the poison inside of you. But that don't mean I want to be around somebody that's bitter. Amen? You're used to it. I don't want it. Amen? I like to crack a smile. I like to tell a joke. I like to pull a joke. I like to cut up. I got some joy. Amen? I don't like bitterness. You'll laugh if I fall off there, won't you? But it will kill you spiritually. People get so used to holding grudges. Every little thing, there's certain people, every little thing they do wrong, they'll hold a grudge. Why? Because it started with one. So the next time, they'll hold another grudge. See how you get used to it. And that's all they know is bitterness, sourness, and unforgiveness. But it kills them spiritually. The Bible calls it a root of bitterness. It's a root that grows in them, and it spreads over you and overtakes you, and people can get used to that condition. But let me tell you, not only will it kill you physically, here's where we're going to go for a little bit. Let me tell you, it will, being, having unforgiveness, bitterness, will hinder the move of God, the blessings of God upon a church or an individual. It is poison to the church as well. Holding grudges. Some adults need to grow up. Amen. Amen. You need to start maturing. If you're still holding grudges, my little girl's more mature than some. These kids around here, Sawyer and Sissy, some of these little ones, they're more mature than some adults is. You may hit, do something wrong to them, tell them you're sorry. They've already forgot all it and go on about it. Amen? But some adults, they want to hold grudges. They want to hold resentment. They want to hold unforgiveness. And these things put a blockage in what God is wanting to do in a church or in an individual's life. Listen, in 1980, Perry Stone, in 1980, in the 1980s in Wilmington, North Carolina, gives an unusual story. After he was in a revival with a church about 125. After praying all day, he stood that night to preach and said he would not preach. His statement was something like this: we can't have revival here because you people have too much bitterness and unforgiveness. He said, I'm sitting down because the Lord wants you to step to this pulpit one by one and confess and repent. And as he sat down and stared in disbelief, the first person to stand was a teenage girl who began to cry and shake. Her voice trembled. She said, I hate you people for the way you treated my dad. He was a preacher and messed up. And not one of you come to pray for him. All you did was gossip and tear him down. He said, I hate you people because you don't act like Christians who love and care about people. Suddenly tears begin to flow and people begin to leave their seats and begin to hug that little girl and repenting. And let me tell you, I'll give you the rest of that story in just a minute, but I begin to think one of the greatest sins of the and hindrance in the church is the sin of the spirit. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, because he cannot sin, but sin in the spirit of the believer. Ooh, I'm speaking of jealousy. I'm speaking of hatred. I'm speaking of unforgiveness. I'm speaking of envy. Sins of the spirit. Lying. Mary said, I'm not preaching. Can I tell you right now? Let me tell you, here's what's a shame. When people have disagreements and some will refuse to speak to one another, that's when they allow the deep roots of bitterness to get in. You're like this. I'm not putting a nut in my mouth. But I like the stickiest in some of them. What happened? I'm going to tell you right now, and I believe this will go with this church right here. I don't believe the church will see a salvation of new souls until the old souls in the pew get their calloused hearts purified. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Did I just say that? I'm saying it right now. I believe there's some hearts that need to get purified in here. Your old calloused hearts need to get purified before God. In other words, the church needs to get in shape before there's a move of God. If the church don't want to do it, let me know. I'm gone. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm giving you what the Holy Ghost told me right now. Let me tell you, it is a shame in the church. Watch this. Am I right? I'm right. When one group won't talk to another. Need to get your callous hearts in there. You're silent on that. But I felt the Holy Ghost on that. And it ain't just a hindrance here. It's a hindrance in the church world in general. I told you this morning. It's a shame when you can find more forgiveness in a barroom than you can in a church. Hey, man, you get two drunks fighting in a bar room. This is a shame. This is an indictment. It ain't long, doesn't pick it up, not said, I'm sorry, forgive me. They're back talking. But some of these self-righteous, I'm going to just call them like it is. Some of these self-righteous hypocrites won't even, somebody does something wrong to them. The house of God is a place to find mercy. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, you want to know why the blessings of God is not happening in your life. I'm getting ready to show you why some are suffering sickness. Uh-oh. Not everybody is the cause of it, but this is a big root cause of it. We want God to move. We want God to move, but God said, I want you to get your callous heart in shape. My Lord, I wonder what they'd find. Somebody walked off that street bound in drugs. Bound in drugs and alcohol. If they come in and sit down, what would they find in here? Would they find somebody that got up and walked away from them? Or would they find somebody that says, we want to welcome you. We're glad you're here. Listen, no, that's not an approval on their condition. But they need to know the love of God. They need to experience the mercy of God. Amen. If we want to know why the mercy, why we ain't experienced the blessings, because just like what was going on in that church, there's sins in the spirit of anger, resentment, hatred, jealousy. Perry goes on to say, he said, after the people confessed that Sunday night, he said the crowd doubled. He said they were those who came to that service desiring to confess their own faults who've never been in a church and ask for cleansing. He said by the following Sunday night, they was started out with 125. He said by the following 20 night, there was 500 people. That following Sunday night, there was 500 people that packed the church. And conviction of the Spirit continued, and the elders were publicly repenting to the pastor for speaking negatively behind his back. That's what you call revival. Amen. Revival begins with the church getting in order. But the hindrance is, for revival, people are harboring sins of the spirit. It's blocking the blessings of God. Hello. When your spirit is poisoned, let me give you a nugget. When your spirit is poisoned, it will hinder divine healing in your life. It will cause sickness. Listen, if unbelief can hinder a mighty miracle, and unbelief is actually blocking the healing power, no doubt in my mind, unforgiveness will block healing as well. Why is it not the only thing? It's not the only thing that will block healing. But unforgiveness will stop God healing in your life. In fact, unforgiveness is a sin of the spirit. What does the scripture say? Psalm 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Listen, other day, studying for this message, I knew that bitterness and unforgiveness is a root cause of sickness. That's just a fact. Because if the spirit man's in bad shape, there's a good chance the physical man is going to be suffering something. Now, this ain't all the cause, but I'm going to give you some reports right here. On December the 28th, 2017, here's some reports I found online. CBN, not CNN. I'm talking about Christian Broadcasting Network. I think that's the name of it. Dr. Michael Berry, the article, made this statement. He said of all the cancer patients that he has, 61% had forgiveness problems. He also said unforgiveness leads to chronic anxiety, which leads to excess adrenaline and cortisol, something like that. I'm not a doctor. They deplete the production of the natural killer cell, which are your body's weapons against cancer. 61% that he treated for cancer, not all of them, but 61% had a trouble with forgiveness. I'm going to ruffle some feathers here in a little bit. Listen, unforgiveness is more toxic than anything you can eat or put in your body, according to this doctor. Listen, another thing. According to John Hopkins, chronic anger, according to John Hopkins, puts you into a flight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in your heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. It gives one the risk of depression, heart disease, diabetes, and among other things. Do you see? Sometimes, not in all cases, let's get that straight, but they are cases. And I believe there's more than meets the eye. The reason that some are sick and some can't get a healing like God's intention is because they got some unforgiveness and bitterness in their life. You won't amen me on that, but I'm telling you the truth right there. I read that from medical science right there. What I'm telling you tonight, unforgiveness does not just affect one spiritual's life, but it affects the physical body as well, and it makes sense. Bitterness affected Naomi's physical body. When she returned to Bethlehem, they said, "Is this Naomi?" They didn't even recognize her. Let me tell you, I know I'm speaking some harsh truth, but I'm telling you right now, I know this is not all the case. Sometimes it's because our bodies are getting older. But I'm telling you tonight, there are some that are having issues is because they got a root of bitterness and unforgiveness in their life. They want to know, there's some, I've seen it in services, where I knew that I could peel blockages that have come up against somebody. Hey man, when I be praying for them, I could feel a blockage. Because God said they got a blockage there. My guess, it was probably some type of spiritual sin. I've been in services where God said, don't even pray for them. You're wasting your breath. Yes, I have seen that happen before. Listen, let me tell you, I'm going to make this statement strong. Many times we want God to cure the symptoms when we need God to cure what's the cause of the symptoms. Amen? And sometimes the cause of the symptoms is because people are harboring grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness in their life. Anger, resentment. How many know anger can kill you? There's a righteous anger. You can get so mad, you can raise your blood pressure up, it'll give you a stroke. How many know stress can kill you? And worry can kill you. Anybody ever hold the expression, you can worry yourself to death? You can literally worry yourself to vomit. You can worry yourself to a heart attack. Well, let me tell you, don't you think unforgiveness and bitterness will cause problems also? Hello, you may not shout on this. You may run me off tonight. But I've come by to tell you, God said, quit asking to cure the symptoms and start getting to the root of the problem. It's like somebody said, God, listen, I'm telling you, a lot of people's got the problem of bitterness and unforgiveness. And that's the reason they're sick or why God won't answer their prayer until it's dealt with. See, I'm telling you, you can be spiritually sick, but it also will come out on the outside of you. I hope I'm getting somewhere tonight. Because many times, and not in all cases, you know, I'll get around somebody and somebody can make my blood boil and my blood pressure is going to shoot up. I told that doctor, when they got my blood pressure, you said, you got high blood pressure. I said, you ain't never pastored. That's the exact words I said. It's always going to be a little high. But I imagine being a doctor, that's high pressure too, you know what I'm saying? But it can. You get anger, it'll affect your body. And if these sins of the spirit are more toxic, what will they do to our physical bodies as well? What's inside comes out. Amen. It's not going to just affect you inside. It's going to affect you outside. Not only was Naomi bitter outside, but when she come to Bethlehem, they didn't even know who she was. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. Do you see now how I am convinced? A lot of the issues, the more I study this, the more I'm convinced. Not all the cases. I know where our body's going to get old and our body's going to get sick as they get older. It's just in a fallen world. But they are cases. And I dare, there's some cases in churches where people's got problems, poison in their spirit that's affecting their physical health as well. See, if I started preaching on same-sex marriage, people would jump up and amen me. If I preached on drinking alcohol, people would jump up and amen me. Preached on adultery, people would jump up and amen me. What about these sins of the spirit? Because why? Because I'm stepping on some toes. We want to hold grudges. We want to hold bitterness. And that's the reason there are some that are growing sick. It's the reason some, their health, is not, they ain't being healed. Because somewhere, and I'm not saying that's your problem, but I'm telling you, in some people's life. It is. Because I don't know if you do or not, but God does. I'm telling you, it's worth checking out. Let me tell you, people have that problem. And some don't want to admit it, but you can see it through their actions and attitude. Point I'm trying to make tonight is, and Jazz, you can get Marcy. If you harbor grudges and unforgiveness, it will affect you physically, but it will also affect your, it will affect you spiritually but and physically, but it will also affect the miracle working power of God in your life. It'll put a blockage between you and God. That's the reason it's so important to forgive. Did you hear me? Forgiveness is not for their benefit. Forgiveness is for your benefit. Forgiveness is for you. Did you hear me? Forgiveness is for you. I believe this is the key right here. The more I see it, the more I'm preaching this tonight, the more I'm seeing things that I don't think I've ever seen. Perry Stone even says, he says he knows a lot of situations where a person was physically ill or battling extreme health issues. He said after spending some time with that person, the discussion to some point, past would always come to some past hurt, bitterness, or pain maybe had been caused by a fellow Christian. At the time, the person was wallowing in the raw of unforgiveness. He said, if I could help them understand their inner spiritual condition was eating away their outward physical condition, and that realizing forgiveness was the only medicine that could cure their infirmities. He said, when people would release forgiveness and start forgiveness, he said it wouldn't be but a matter and their and release the trespasses, and they would weep before God in repentance. It was not but a matter of weeks or days before these people made a full recovery. I believe that. I'm going to tell you a story about this man behind the pulpit. Before I was saved, I was bitter. I was a very bitter person. I didn't like the way you, I didn't like you. Didn't matter who you was. If you wasn't me, I didn't like you. I was bitter inside. But I also grew sick. Doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with me. I stayed constantly sick on my stomach. So I know this is a fact. I went to doctors after doctors. I'd get mad and cuss the doctors at points. I really would. I was a bitter person. I was a bitter, bitter person before I was saved. Don't want nothing to do with that no more. But I'd stay sick on my stomach. Couldn't hold no food down. Just constantly sickened. One night, I run to the altar. And I tell you, I got saved. That very next week, it was my youth pastor. One I give a hard time, man. He was the youth pastor, but I troubled him. I worked with him, but I troubled him just to agitate him. I'd done things just to, you know, get him a going. I just wanted to hear him preach a little bit. I ain't going to mention the things he did, but anyway, he was one that influential in getting me saved. But he was also the one that said, God said, get in this altar following Wednesday night. Get in this altar. We're going to pray for you. You're going to get healed. You know, that night I went, it wasn't no big prayer, it wasn't no camp meeting prayer, just a simple prayer. I walked out of there healed. I started with my bitterness getting gone. Just a few days, God said, I'll heal you. And let me tell you, I walked out there healed. And I'll tell you, doctors couldn't find out what the problem was. I know what it's like to go to doctors and not know what the problem was. I didn't, you know. I thought there was all a bunch of quack. I said, why am I throwing up like this? Why am I, they just give me something to control the vomit. God said, it was because inside of me, I was bitter about some things. I was mad about some things. I had some hate and rage in me. This was before I was saved. But I'm telling you how God healed my body. How God healed my body that time. Before I was saved, I had bitterness, anger. It was all over me. I'd cuss you, then look at you. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't care. I didn't care what I done. I didn't care who I offended. In ways, a little bit. But I'm not no bitter person. But that would eat me alive. But once I got cried out to God, I remember that night I went in that altar. That weight, that bitterness was gone. And there was a freshness, a weight lifted, a new creation in me. And that following Wednesday night, I was healed from that condition. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, I'm convinced what it was in my life by bitterness was causing the physical sickness in me as well. Hello. It's interesting, after I got saved, I got healed. So don't tell me when the inner spiritual man's getting eat up, it won't affect you physically, because it will. What I'm telling you tonight is, there needs to be some soul searching. There are times, you can stand it here, get ready to play, RC. There are times when the condition of the inner man will affect the physical man. See, what in them times are when you're carrying unforgiveness, you're carrying bitterness around. I'm telling you right now, bitterness, unforgiveness, sins of the spirit just don't affect you spiritually. They affect you physically. Carrying grudges, ill will, jealousy, hatred, strife hinders the blessings of God in one's life. Let me state this again, because I don't want no confusion. Not everybody that's sick, it's not the result of unforgiveness or bitterness. Sometimes it's just a body. Sometimes it's just an attack. But I'm telling you, sometimes it can be because we're harboring things in our spirit. Sometimes it can be. I've been under that. I've never told you about it. But I'm telling you about it tonight, because I'm telling you what God's telling me to tell you, some people. It's time to cut the roots, to search your life. Is there bitterness? Is there hatred? Is there unforgiveness? Have I truly forgiven? Do I got some pat? Let me get, just for a second. Sometimes the things we're bitter about may not be another person, but some things that's happened years ago that has scarred us deep. Something maybe even the adults that's happened in your childhood, and you ain't let go of it. God says tonight, let go. Let go. Let go. Search your life. Search your life. Cleanse me, Lord. Cut the root of bitterness. There's bitterness in me. Cut it out of me. Cut it out of me. Oh my God, don't let bitterness destroy you. Don't walk around with a lemon in your mouth. Give it to God. I don't know what happened. It may have been years ago, and you're still holding some scars from that time. And you may be bitter that something happened to you when you was a child. The hurt's there. The pain's there. But let that bitterness go. Let the bitterness go. You'll feel a new day. Oh, in the name of Jesus. You'll feel something new in you. God said, I'll cut it out. Let me cut it out of you. Let me take your callous heart. And let me make it pure. Let me make it full of love, compassion, forgiveness, and mercy. When you get the things out, God will begin to move in your life. Don't let that physical, spiritual, take care of it tonight. That may be what's hindering you. I don't know. But I know sins of the spirit will hinder you, will hurt, kill you spiritually and physically. Give it to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.